Well, I don't have a PowerPoint this week, and I can't, Eric came up to me and said, you got a PowerPoint, because there's always one up there waiting. I said, well, I think that sabbatical has already hit me a little bit, you know, and so I procrastinated. And that's partly true, but also this morning, I just didn't want to put it together in my own, I just didn't want to do it. I just want to not have you maybe be looking at that, but concentrating more on just what's spoken. But the truth be told, I was probably a little lazy this week. Sabbath, rest, and sabbatical. These are like major, major themes in Scripture. It's woven into the very fabric of creation. In fact, your very being and person has been created to be in rhythm with a creational rhythm of life, of work and play, of toil and labor and rest. This is something that God, this is pre-fall into sin. Just read Genesis 1 and 2 in the mandates that God created us to do and to be. And to have this just amazing, like, one-on-one loving relationship with God, our Creator. And later we see in the story our Redeemer, our Sustainer, the one that gave us breath of life, right? Gives us a rhythm that we can live in and rest. I'm going to read three texts of the quarter, which will be for this sabbatical, right? 3 months, okay? The texts of the quarter are this. First one is from Psalm 62, and we sing this song quite a bit. There's a song that we sing out of that red book. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And when you get repetition, right, even sometimes in songs, it just means we hope it sticks and gets in there, the truth. And also, I'm going to give you three texts of the quarter, okay, but they're all doable, and some of them you may know already. The other one's from Jesus' words in Matthew 11, where He says, come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And the last one from Psalm 18, verse 19, this one is simply because it's always been a favorite of Dion and I's. Ever since we've been together, this comes back and we love it. Psalm 18, verse 19, He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. No matter how you got there where you needed to be rescued, your own doing, the undoing of someone else, whatever it may be, I love this. He rescued me in that pit wherever I was because He delights in me. This is the word of the Lord. There you go. So Sabbath, rest, and sabbatical defined. Let me just start there. I already said that it's a rhythm of living life individually and communally. They are firmly grounded in Scripture, right? Both of those principles. Sabbath rest is a creational rhythm, a design built into the very fabric of creation in our created being. It's a core commandment of 10 of not only obedience for God's people in its weekly rhythmic practice, but it's more than that. It's practice is essential to our well-being and flourishing. Just try, right, to ignore Sabbath rest or some rhythm of that in your life, and it will quickly catch up to you, okay? Quickly catch up to you. And there's more to it than just a day in seven. There's more to this rhythm. But it's a design for our good. So I went on a bike ride this past week, the week before, with sort of a newfound buddy, all right? Someone who is becoming a friend, right, in a short time. Because we like the same thing, mountain biking, and we're at about the same level. So when we ride, it's just like, it's almost like a delight, all right? Even if you're suffering. because you're together in it, okay? And you're with each other. But in some of the sharing, this is something that was spoken. For many years now, I prided myself on working sometimes 40 days straight. It was something like that. That's what I sort of have in my head. And then he went on to reflect on its detriment to his own health and well-being. And, you know, that struck me as being just wisdom. Wisdom. And if we don't hear it from God, we don't line up in sort of a practice of it, right, in some obedience in the rhythm of our life, well, we'll know about it later what we should do because we'll crash, you see. We won't function very well. In Western culture, we work for 40-plus years. I'm just giving generalizations here. 5 to 6 days a week. For our teen, it's 7. And then you retire. And then we rest and take sabbatical. Those of you who are retired, you can tell me about that. Oxymoron. No, don't do it. Terry, recently retired. If you were to grow up in my Dutch cultural heritage, that was just my background, rest and taking breaks is a hard concept to live into. And when we would try to practice it on a Sunday, it just seemed like a lot of legalism. Don't. Now I've come to, I think, reform that. And maybe get more in line with somewhat what God has intended. Combine that with one's personal disposition, and some of us are a bit more workaholic than others, and mine is a bit of a high-octane level of activity and daily engagement. Packing the day full is a daily practice. This can make entering Sabbath and Sabbath rest a challenge, and from what I know in my experience and knowledge of Sabbath, is that neglecting it, any of these principles, here's one thing that I understand now in my life to be true. It's actually a sign of my lack of trust in God. Think of the commandments that were given to Israel. You read about them in Leviticus. A seventh day of a Sabbath year, right, of rest for the land, for the animals, for the people. The kind of trust that you have that God is going to provide, right? That he is as good as he says he is. Or one in every 50 years, a year of Jubilee, which was to be an amazing, redemptive, and restorative year. Every 50 years, all the exchanges of land, all the debt that, and then you sort of work the land for someone else, all of these things that happen. All of those things were like restored. And there was hope so that people who had sort of lost their land have their land back again to be able to. You see how this kind of works? It's like a very. There is probably. In fact, someone told me this, and I think it's true. We'd have to like research it. You can research it, see if it's true. But there is no recorded evidence in Scripture that the nation of Israel practiced the year of Jubilee. What do you think happened if that was the case? Did they trust God? Do you remember the story in the wilderness when they were supposed to collect manna? You collect it for 6 days, and on the sixth day, you collect enough for 2 days. It was a obedience. It was a trust that God will provide, you see. It's, I think, you know, in my life, that's probably more the indication of when I run into trouble with Sabbath and Sabbath principles and practice in my own life. It's just because I might not trust. A sabbatical is simply an extended Sabbath and entering into a deeper reality of dependence on God. That is the ultimate description that it could be. It's an intentional surrendering. When a Sabbath year was practiced, one in every 7, right? Trust and surrender. Trust and celebrate God's provision and providence. In the practice of Sabbath, we learn about our partnership with God. It's a rhythm of grace. Stop! Do you know what Sabbath means in the Hebrew? Stop. Cease. It doesn't mean cease from breathing. Cease from going for a hike, perhaps. Cease from coming to worship. I mean, all this, it's not that. It's an intentional stopping so that you can enter into something else that I would say is good and maybe better. It's right. So, it gives you some food to think about. It's a yoke that Jesus invites us to attach ourselves to, unlike the yokes of slavery when we layer upon ourselves and in living life. We do it to ourselves. Sometimes the tyranny of the urgent around us does this. Sometimes religiosity does this. Legalism, workaholism, perfectionism, ambition, hurried living, an assortment of addictions to choose from, unhealthy relationships to people and things. Sabbath is a correction to these things. In most every way, the opposite of these things. It's an opportunity and a gift to intentionally engage in something else, life-giving things. So Eugene Peterson says, the spirit of Sabbath is, I like it when it's just made simple, is praying and playing with the Lord. That's what Sabbath is. Praying and playing with the Lord. Sad thing about Sabbath and its weekly practice today is that Sunday is just another day. I have been someone, I love Reformed theology. I like the tradition that sort of I grew up in the sense of how they see some of these things. Because even in Hebrews, right, you have language about this, that the Sabbath is fulfilled. It's just a shadow of the true reality to come in Christ. So I tend to think, okay, every day is a Sabbath, right, from sin. Every day is a Sabbath to enter into a rest. I get that. But does that mean the Sabbath rhythm of life of one in every seven, take a break, stop, pause, enter into something? Does that mean that that's obsolete? I think we've made it that for somehow convenient purposes of our own. And even though it may be a little different rhythm, we do not necessarily intentionally engage or see it as a priority in our life to engage in some better things. It's just my observation. I think some of that's true. So Crestview Church, I realize that a sabbatical is a gift that is given. I realize that not everyone is afforded or given a time of sabbatical. You know, I think about that. It's like, well, geez, I'd like to have one, right? I'm very aware of that. It's a gift. And so I want you to hear from me, from Dion and I both, thank you so much for making this possible and for creating the encouragement and the space and time to be able to do this. I mean, my hope and prayer, I'll get into some of that, some of the things that I'm looking forward to and things that I'm going to intentionally enter into just so you can help pray, right, into that reality for Dion and I both. But I want to say thank you. Thank you. At age 54, after 20 years of ministry life in the church, this opportunity feels like, I almost can't believe it, but it starts tomorrow. And I intend to enter into it as best I can. So why 3 months? You know, that too, right? Why 3 months? I'll admit myself, it's like when I hear about that, I'm like, that seems like, wow, that's a long time. What you gonna do with all that? Well, I did my research. I read a lot of sites about sabbaticals. Albin Institute is a good one. You could look it up yourself. Look, Albin Institute sabbatical policies. And they have all kinds of different kinds of sabbaticals. One is go and study, man, and just sort of dive into some classwork and that kind of thing, right? It's that kind of a sabbatical. Another type of sabbatical is simply lay fallow. Just allow for some empty space. Don't try to produce or perform any of those kind of things. Try to enter into a fallow kind of rest, maybe a little more like the land, right, or the year of Jubilee, or all these kind of things, maybe some Sunday Sabbath principles. And then there's the ones all in between. So I've got a little bit of both, but mostly I feel that it will be a time of laying fallow, but intentionally engaging in restorative conversations and practices. One of the big things I would like to see out of the sabbatical for myself is, and it keeps coming back to me, is faithfulness. In my own life, faithfulness. To sort of even the Hebrews 12 text, right? Throw off the sin that entangles, or working on my trust and surrender with God. You may think, well, you're the pastor. You have that all the time. I'm like, well, yes, no. But the fatigue of things sometimes, right? Or just the hurriedness of things, or even trying to meet expectations, or all these expectations I put on myself. All these things that you're familiar with your own life, are true for me. And so, you know, laying fallow will be good, but I got some intentionality, which I'll share with you. But the three-month thing is because of everybody else's advice. In fact, when I asked how long should it be, and Rick Ebers, I talked to a long time about it, I have other colleagues who've taken sabbatical. They're like, 3 months at a minimum. When I read the Alban Institute and how they talk about it and other sabbatical resources, they say 3 months as a minimum. So there you go. I'm doing the minimum. But I realize it just seems like, wow, what a gift, and you're right. People ask, what are you going to do? Well, this too I researched, right, with other things. But I'm going to plan a time, right, that is filled with some playfulness, but it's going to have some purpose too, because it's something that I need to be a part of it. Not so much in producing and performing, right? Like, just the regular rhythms of ministry every week, like all the things that I do or the engagements I have, I'm going to try to cease, okay, from that. But I will not be able to cease, I don't think, just because of who I am, the sort of, like, messages that are going to want to just bubble out, okay? I'm going to refrain from writing too much like that. But I anticipate a series to come out of this through the fall. It's sort of a thought, because it's just going to naturally come out. And I'll tell you the idea that it's around in a minute, and you can help me with it. So a few personal goals: discern intentionally Jesus' personal invitation to me, and to both Dion and I, me together, Dion and me together. Is that right? I have trouble with that. Is that right? A time of rest, creating space for God to speak, but of intentionally seeking His God as well, with a different intentionality. Getting in touch again with my emotions and longings and needs. Not just my own, but Dion's, my family. Unplugging, you know, from work to seek rest and renewal, connection with Dion and family. I'm going to meet with a couple mentors of mine already starting next week. And the week after that, I'll be having some significant time with some mentors in my life who've just been amazingly instrumental. And so I'm looking forward to that. During the sabbatical time, I'll be engaged in some soul training, listening to the Holy Spirit, looking for a realignment in my life with God's purposes for me, my family, Crestview's ministry. I'm looking for God to breathe fulfillment of these texts into my life that I read, bring me into a spacious place, a deeper trust and dependence on God. I talked about faithfulness. I don't need to repeat that. I want to exercise, though, some faithfulness in some daily disciplines, okay? So I've got a list of those that aren't, I don't think, overwhelming, but are fulfillable each day. So you kind of get the picture. So how can you participate in this sabbatical? I've got four things here, and then we're going to have the elders come up, and we're going to have some time in prayer before we conclude our official service today. Four ways you can participate. I think it'd be great if you also, individually and communally as a church, took the opportunity yourself as a faith community, individually, right, and together, to have a summer of Sabbath and sabbatical rest. You're going to have a smorgasbord of message givers. You're going to have different worship leaders. It's going to be good for Crestview. It's going to be great for you to not have me up here all the time bringing it. All right? I'll be back. But it'll be a great time of Sabbath. So enter into it and enjoy it. So, second way you can do it is partner in prayer with Dion and I. So, Dion and me. I have a weekly guide Dion and I put together. It's not laborious. So if you're like doing read through the Bible, you can also participate in this, but just one theme per week with one passage. And it's text of the quarter from our past, the last 7 years. So it's kind of, hopefully it brings up those things, but then a specific prayer line just to be able to pray into for us. And we'll be in that as well together, praying for you. So here's a specific prayer. During times when people push the pause button in the normal rhythms of life and there is more intentional quiet silence and solitude, there in the space, we become more aware of inner distress, relational wounds, different voices in our head and heart, become aware of sin. We become more aware of unmet needs, unfulfilled longings. Just sit alone with yourself for a while and see what happens. Maybe that's not the case. But it's a very real human experience. Seems like a common thing. So one of my prayers would be just simply that you would pray for me, that I've got lots of interactions with people, friends, mentors, family, etc. But there will also be some good times of solitude. I really want to learn how to do that better. So pray for me for those times. Another thing, consider fasting from something yourself in order to feast on something better. So during these months of sabbatical, I plan to fast from my pastoral role in the sense of officially right here. The weekly meetings and rhythm of deep prep or worship development or counseling, you name it. So these are practical and good things of my vocation and calling, but I'm taking a pause button in order to engage in something good, something else. And in some ways right now, maybe just something better for me, right? For God to meet me. So I'm fasting from the have to or need to, producing and performing in different ways, to explore with God, who am I when I'm not continually engaged in pastoral calling? Who am I? That'll be good to look at. Maybe you should think about something over the summer. You know, something as simple as less time on your phone. You know, I get this thing that comes up, and I'm going to be unplugging this way for sure. But you know how my phone tells me, because I'm not very good at sort of like filtering this out, tells me, you have 52% more activity on your phone this week. Do you have that? Well, let's see if we can get that to go, you have 10% less on your phone week one. Oh, you have 10% less week two. See how far you can go. Last thing is, join me this summer in reflecting on this question, and here's where I'm going to end it. In living life, and this is something that I'm going to probe, and I'm going to, when I'm spending time with people along the way, I certainly am, one of my plans is just to write notes of encouragement to all these people because they've been so significant in my life, just to bless them, but to intentionally engage in conversation, and I've been sending these out to people that I'm going to be meeting along the way, and essentially it's this. And this is where in the fall I think there will be a great series that will come out of this. In living life, how do you understand the holy human weave of God's plans and our plans? How do you understand the two working together, and how does it inform and transform your daily life? It would seem that how we understand the interaction of these two realities, God's plan, our plans, could, would, and should shape every aspect of our life. So I'm thinking like from choices we make, from reactions, from desires, obedience, anxieties, wisdom, grace, power, grief. These are only a few. Now, understand, I know that these things bring up big things like God's sovereignty and providence and human free will. But you know what? That's great. You can think about that, but I'm not as interested in that as I am how practically in your life do these things come together. An example was given this week in our elder meeting. You know, how it informs, like I had a job opportunity when I was searching for jobs, and I had three different ones, and it meant living in different places in the country. And I go, God, just show me the way. Tell me exactly what your will is. And the answer never really came. Maybe that was God's answer. You can choose any of them, and I'll be with you. Would one be better? Would one be worse? Will one be filled with... You see how this, I want to know how these things play out in your everyday life. And I'm going to see where God leads during the sabbatical, and it'll be something fun we can anticipate together when I get back. Like, how does that take shape? And I envision having some good discussions about this stuff as we hear stories. How is it that God's plan comes together with your plan? What does that look like? So, where does the rubber hit the road with faith? So my prayerful desire is to return on September 20th with a refreshed spirit, a clear mind, and a joyful heart to engage serving God and Crestview Church in faithfulness. That's a goal that I'm anticipating. During the next 3 months, I'll intentionally unplug in order to plug into other things. Does this mean you can't text me or call me or email me or show up at the next place I'm supposed to know? You know, I don't know the answer totally to that because I'm not a legalist, but I will say this. If you text me, that'll be your best way to get a hold of me if there's something you really need to talk about or you want to connect on. You can email me. You can call me. But you know what? I don't know when I would get back to you. So if you give me that freedom and in God's timing, discern when to get back and how to get back, I will do that. All right? So, in my absence, you should know pastoral needs. You contact any one of our elders. You contact any one of our deacons, and they will be there for you, and they will walk with you with whatever's happening, okay? But we have elders and deacons here who this is their role and their calling in the church. So there will be that for you available anytime. So enjoy the summer. We got to get up here and pray. I'm sorry it's a little longer. I would like to invite the elders up here, and instead of my prayer at the end of the message, we're going to have elders pray for different aspects of things. And then I will also be praying a blessing over all of you. And after that, we'll finish with a song. And then stay put for a congregational meeting. All right, right after that. So, elders, come on up. Okay, yeah, come on up here. People can. And Julie, are you starting us off, I believe?
I believe I've been told that.
Yes. Oh, you've been told that. All right.
Are we in order? Who do I go to next? You do next. Okay, good.
Excellent. Oh, we're going to do order, too.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay. So now we're ready to go. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus and Spirit, we pray for the Council of Crestview during this sabbatical time. We especially pray for the outgoing council. We praise you for Luke and Pam Chapel and Roger and Julie for their service at the church the past 3 years. And just pray for that you will help the outgoing council to be available in case the incoming council needs any help, especially during this sabbatical time. Pray for the new council, the incoming council, Lord God. We praise you for Rachel and Eric and Eileen and Peter. We pray that you give them wisdom in knowing where to go when challenges arise. And we pray, Lord God, for the entire council. We praise you for Pam Vandenberg and for Karen and for Sid and for Gail. And we just pray for your arms, Lord God, to surround them and give them discernment as they seek to lead our church during Pastor Mark's sabbatical.
Father, we pray for the staff So often we take for granted what they do behind the scenes. And those efforts basically make everything run smoothly. And that's why we don't notice and we take for granted what they do. So Father, bless them. Increase their faithfulness, not only to Crestview, but to you. And strengthen them in that faithfulness. Give them guidance. Guidance on what to do with those daily tasks, those daily challenges that come up. Give them patience. Patience to deal with us. Patience to deal with the physical structure of this building. Patience in the expectation of seeing more people come. Patience with themselves. Father, give them strength. There's a strength that comes with purpose. There's also a strength that each one of us brings to our work, and to our daily activities. I pray that you would strengthen them physically, mentally, and spiritually. And along with spiritual strength comes wisdom. Father, endow them with wisdom, bless them, so that they can not only care for this institution, this organization, this church, this small part of your body, but also the wisdom to interact with the world and the wisdom to do all of the other things, being faithful, relying on you for guidance, being patient, and building their strength. So we uplift to you, Debbie, Barb, Gail, Madison, and Mark. Bless them, uphold them, strengthen them. Be with them and enfold them with your love.
Father, we lift up Crestview Church and all of those who offer their time and talents. We're so blessed to have many here who are skilled and willing to use their gifts to bless your church. Thank you for all of our volunteers, for those who greet us Sunday morning, and those who lead us in worship, for those who make sure our service is available online, for those who prepare coffee fellowship, for those who care for our children, for those who serve on council, and anybody else who hasn't been named. Lord, you know who they are and what they are doing for your church. Bless them, Lord, for their spirit of love and service, for their commitment to the needed tasks, for their desire to participate in this church family. Fill us all with your spirit to continue to be faithful to you and to your church, especially during our pastor's absence.
Jesus, we are so glad that you are the great shepherd of the sheep and of your church, that, Lord, we can have trust in you, that during times of sabbatical, in times of Sabbath, in times of ceasing and rest, that, Lord, you are with us in every way. And I pray, Lord, that your shepherding presence of your spirit would be with Crestview Church during this summer months. That, Lord, as a shepherd, you would protect it, that you would lead it, and that, Lord, you would bless it. Lord, I just pray that we would be able to enter into something very similar as a church, and Dion and I, and the activities that we're engaged in, just with some intentionality into rest, ceasing, playfulness, and prayer. And Lord, we ask that you'd reveal yourself to us. Lord, thank you for your promise that you're Emmanuel. Never leave us, never forsake us. you delight in us.
I'm going to pray for Mark and Dion, but I would like for them to come into the middle of the sanctuary, and we're all going to join together and put lay our hands on them. Would you come and join us, please? Heavenly Father, we bring Mark and Dion before you now as they leave for their sabbatical rest and time of renewal in you. Bless them, keep them safe in all of their travels, and guide Mark as he seeks your face and your will for both himself and for our church. Grant Mark your wisdom and teach him more about yourself, so that when he returns to us, he will be refreshed and equipped to lead Crestview into your future plans for us. Open his mind and heart to your Spirit's leading, and protect him from the evil one who will want to thwart the plans you have for him during this time of intense focus on you. We will miss them, Lord, but commend them to your shepherding hand, and trust that you will be with them to provide for them and for us out of your glorious abundance. May your everlasting love be a tangible presence with them as they go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. Amen.